Hi guys, my name is Alex Oyebade. I'm a senior product designer and a certified emotional intelligence professional. You're hanging out with Jeremiah on Designers Hub. Don't stop listening.
So what's up people of the internet, boys and girls. One genuine problem I face as a regular podcast listener is finding another interesting podcast I can listen to. And you know that can be handful, and you know, now there's all the stress around it. So that's what I bring to you. What's podcasting, people? Yeah, what's podcasting? So it's just an overarching low-bar newsletter that people in tech, geeks, babes, nerds, and maybe your mom would love, that kind of shit. So kindly check the link in the description and sign up to receive 3 new podcast recommendations every week that you will definitely not love. But you can never know unless you try, That's why you're still single. Anyway, sorry. Bye.
Hello everybody, my name is Jeremiah, and as usual, I'm your host for today's episode. With me, obviously, I'm not the one for the most part. I have Alex Oyebade, someone that for the longest of time wanted to record with. I've had the idea hanging somewhere in my mind, and this is a huge opportunity. See, yeah, welcome Alex, and thank you for doing this with me.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Alex Oyebade. Like you said, I'm really glad to be here, and I look forward to the conversation that we're going to have. What did they say again? Don't go nowhere.
It's actually the point. Thank you. Yeah, so there is like this ritual that we do here, whereby the previous host shares a question for previous guest shares the next person for the next guest. So unsurprisingly, my previous guest was Ms. V, that was Victoria, and she has a question for you.
So I will drop a question for the next person. That's how it's run.
Yes, but you don't need to share it now. You can share it at the end of the call.
So the last person drop a question for me.
Exactly. Ms. Beat with this, I say, wow. Please. It's not something.
So did she know I was going to be the one?
No, not at all. She didn't.
Okay.
I tried to keep the guest anonymous for the most part. But it's fine.
Okay.
So our question is, how would you define success as a creative? How do you define success as a creative? And a follow up on that, what does success mean to you?
When the first part came out, the default answer to me is success is relative. Success means different things to a lot of people. But as a creative, I think every creative would define success as their work being appreciated, so several levels of appreciation there. Appreciated one monetarily, your work is appreciated by you being monetarily rewarded. And then there's your work being appreciated in the fact that it is reaching the level, it is reaching the actual people it is supposed to reach. And then it is having the real time impact it is supposed to have. So as a creative, I'm speaking vaguely and generally now. As a creative, I believe appreciation for your art is the success that every creative aspire to. I want my work to be appreciated by them, by me receiving some monetary value in return, and then I want my work to be appreciated in that it has the level of impact I envisioned when I set out to create that art. And personally, for me, success means fulfillment, some level of joy in what I do. Even if it doesn't pay me monetarily, so far I love what I'm doing. I love creating what I'm creating. I love building what I'm building. That process for me is success. So as you are doing it, you are learning. As you are doing it, you are failing. As you are doing it, you are succeeding. You are getting it right, and all of those things. That for me is some level of success that cannot be overemphasized or brushed aside. Because much more than what you achieve at the end, it is who you become in the end that let us know that, oh, he was successful. Because if what you achieve is only what you are gunning for, if you are able to achieve it, later you might not be able to replicate that level of success. But if the process is what you are, you know, particular about, that means if that thing did not succeed, you can later also, you know, replicate that level of quality of work later also. And then who knows, that one might, you know, might be successful. So for me, I believe when you are engaged in a productive activity and you are learning from the process, for me, that is a lot of success. And you are happy doing it, and then you make money doing it, and then there's a lot of impact doing it. To me, that's a lot of success.
Yeah. One, if anything, I'm super happy about this conversation, because as much as we're going to record, I'm going to like listen to you talk. I've listened to you talk once or twice, and it's always been impactful. And just within 2 to 3 minutes where you talked about success as a creative, I picked up lessons already. All right. So, thank you for sharing, Alex. Thank you. Now, surely tell me that you answered that particular question. I felt like she wanted to share something that would be more personal, but I think this is personal enough. But yeah, switching the conversation and diving more into what you want to talk about, which is about your journey per se and how you, and your design journey, your creative journey. So yeah. I would like to ask, how did you get started and what was starting like for you?
Okay. So when I was in school, tertiary institution, for some reason, providence perhaps, I stumbled on, it started with motivational books, but then we entered some more specific books, you know, like selling and branding and all of that. So I got into brand strategy. So when I see, you know, a student who is an entrepreneur, doing their business, and I see how they are doing it, and then the packaging is not appealing. Everything is just looking all 1960. You know, he used to pay me that time. Like, I get very devastated, and then I move to them and say, "Oh, you know, you can do this better. You can rename your products from God is good to, you know, an arbitrary name that people can connect with." You know, you can, and that is not to say God is good is bad, but it's saying even God is good motors, change it from God is good to GIGM. Do you get what I mean? So it's not to say that you can't exalt God in what you do, but there are ways to do it. You know, I know a business, I've forgotten now, I think it's 22.4 or something. But when you get down to the meaning of 22.4, it's a Bible chapter and verse. You get, it's a book of the Bible. So there are ways to go around these things. As I just saying, exalted online Nigeria enterprises. No, that's very 1960. So I moved to them. We have conversations about their vision, their mission, their, you know, all of those things, your color, your logo, your tagline, your USP, UVP, all of those things were the conversation I used to have with people. So I was in brand strategy. Then, fast forward a couple of years later, I did a bit of hands-on graphics, right? And that one didn't really go well. Then, I think late 2020, I just decided, okay, I have some idea about visual design, you know, not hands-on, but I know how it should look. I know how, I understand how colors resonate with some people and colors with feelings and colors with deep meanings. Like, what does this color mean when you show it to people, you know, randomly, and how it makes them feel and all of those things. So I understand that side of things. And then I understand, oh, if you put this text in this size, it works better with this size. But I didn't want to do brand strategy anymore, because at that time, it wasn't paying a lot. It wasn't paying as much as I would like to earn. And then graphics also wasn't doing it. by my research then, and this is, I'm saying this very responsibly, you know, not in any way trying to play down graphic design, but the amount senior graphic designers were earning were the amount junior entry-level UX UI designers were earning. And I was like, what's happening here?
I said that's some solid truth there, because I mean I've done that research already and I agree so much about
it. You get so when especially then, not now, where you know a lot of product designers are out there, and then it has made the supply of designers more than the demand, and then maybe they have now crashed the money in the market. But then intro level UX designers were taking 100, 150k, 200k. Then, and now, and at that time also, graphic designers, when they have grown, intro level graphic designers are like 40, 50k. So when you have now grown in the industry, you now start earning 150, 200k. And I was like, this is a very major disparity in just learning one more thing plus the things that you already know how to do. Then I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, and then I started. So from brand strategy to a little bit of graphic design. Then I was also very immersed in learning about how the mind works and all of that. So I got, I was doing certifications in emotional intelligence. And one of the greatest pillars of emotional intelligence is empathy, right?
Yes.
Putting yourself in other people's shoes, feeling as they would feel, and then try to manage that feeling, manage yourself in every social interaction or every social circumstance. So empathy was important. Questioning was important. So when I was making this research about what I want to do, and then I stumbled on UX design, and then they said the first step in design thinking is empathy. I was like, okay, you are speaking my language, you know, let's do this. You know, so the transition was in multiple folds. So with visual design, it aligns with what I already know, with some level of interaction design, or should I say graphic design also works with what I already know. And then empathy with users and questioning and all those kind of research process that I was already in a way using just works. The transition was just pretty natural for me. And, you know, like they say, the rest is history.
Honestly, I think one thing that is very unique or is constant in most product designers is that most of us started from brand identity or brand strategy. Mm-hmm. And we discovered that maybe there wasn't money there, or the money wasn't enough, and we switched to product designers. I think it's actually very consistent. In fact, most product designers already decided from graphic design or brand identity before they switch. Okay. So what were the challenges you had when you started out designing, and how did you navigate them? How were you able to navigate through?
Challenges. I think so. I started learning design when I did not, when I was still working with him, you know. So the major issue I had was I didn't find the best community to move with. Maybe I'll be with Netflix already now if I had that quickly, you know. So and how I solved that was, you know, already RT. That I got to join. So it started from Zuri. I joined Zuri. There was a lot of people. Then I found some people that I connected with. And with those people, you know, RT started, which is road trip for every listener. You know, so my biggest challenge was I was learning alone. I was learning in silo, just in my place, you know, because I was still very actively engaged. That was the first. What other thing? Sincerely, because of this rugged mindset where I get, I don't see anything as a challenge. You get?
Yeah,
I see something to just weather and make, like, yo, figure it out. My guy, you let me say this in 2 ways. You're a man. You're supposed to figure it out. And even if you're a woman, you're a human being, you have wisdom, you have innate intelligence, you have strength, you have a whole lot of internal forces that can make you surmount any form of challenge that is in your way. Is it a laptop issue? You can figure it out. Is it data issue? You can figure it out. If you commit enough time to thinking about how can I solve this, you are not looking for somebody to, you know, like maybe give you a handout, or when I say handout, maybe like give you their laptop or buy data for you. Those things are not sustainable, right? What is sustainable is what you yourself propose solution to, the solutions that you are able to inherently create by yourself and the things that are sustainable. If you are looking outside of yourself for help, for resources, they may or may not come. Most of the time, they do not come, right? So just use your intelligence or look for people who can help you spark that internal intelligence and then go for it. And there's a big word in education. I did education in school. There's a big word we used to throw around that year. Is that it is the purpose of education is to make every learner, every student become autodidactic, meaning you are able to figure out stuff by yourself. You're able to search out information by yourself. You're able to look in the weirdest of places and find meaningful information that can help you become a better person, become a better designer. You know, the way you use YouTube and the way I use YouTube is probably different. Right, you see some people find content on YouTube that you did not know existed. You know, so we should become those kind of people. We should become very smart and dexterous in looking for information, because information abound. There's nothing you want to learn that is not available. It's the issue is, will you find it? Will you be able to find it? Do you know where it is? You know, the ability to find where it is and sharpen that ability, I think, is the best way to surmount any talent. So personally, this might sound very somehow, I don't know, but I don't see most things people see as challenge. I just see them as, okay, this is stuff for me to like figure out and get over it. But my only challenge, I think, was that I was learning alone. And because of that, it didn't put me out there early enough. So it took a while for me to like kickstart my career properly. I was learning, but kickstart my career took a while. But then God has been good. So there we are.
Yeah, thank God. You talked about, one thing that caught my eye was the fact that everything that seemed like a challenge, it was something that you needed to just figure out and then through. The only aspect of that is that not everyone sees it in that light. And had it been, we all saw it in that light, I think we would handle these challenges as beginners better. But I want to ask, as a beginner that's probably just starting out, some of the challenges that they have include things like imposter syndrome, how to charge, personal branding, where to search for inspiration. So obviously, that's not a soft skill. But for challenges like imposter syndrome, how can they handle it? Because it's like a major challenge. I think not just even beginners, a lot of people struggle through it, like when they are starting out, and I think they just deal with it, basically.
Even seniors go through imposter syndrome, self-doubt, and all of those kind of stuff. So I have a lot of ways to surmount that I use consistently to tell myself, no, guy, you deserve to be here. You are worth what you are. What you are rated, you are worth what you are paid. You know, you have paid your dues. You know, you deserve this accolade. You deserve this level of success that you have, even as you position yourself for even much more success. You know, one of the ways I do that, I said that you deserve the accolades because you have paid your dues. So one of the ways is to actually pay your dues. Are you paying your dues? So one of the ways to overcome imposter syndrome is to learn your way out of it. What is your imposter syndrome telling you? Like, you don't know what you say you know. So go ahead and know it now. Jiget, if it is so obvious that you know what you should know, then in that aspect, you have overcome imposter syndrome. If your imposter syndrome is saying, you are such a fraud, even botting, you know, sabi do. Yeah, okay. Okay. Then I go and learn how to make buttons. You know, all the states possible for buttons, I go and learn them. Disabled states, over states, secondary bots, and how to create a component or how to create all of those kind of things. About botting, you be the best with buttons. Oh, you don't know how to work with design systems. Oh, is that it? Then I go ahead and figure it out. At least in that aspect, I lose my imposter syndrome, whatever. So you can learn your way out of imposter syndrome. And one way to learn your way out of it is to compete, to be able to compete globally in that thing. So if it is botting, who is creating the best botting? Say Google or Apple or Netflix. Okay, how are their buttons created? So you study them and you fix it. And you fix yourself in that aspect. You get, you can learn your way out of imposter syndrome. Another way is to have an archive of my best works, right? Yes. The things that I do that used to bust my own brain. Or the things that I have done that bust my own brain. I have an archive of it. So when I'm feeling like that, because most of the time this feeling is not all true, it's not consistently there all your life. Maybe something happened and then you are triggered. Maybe you want to apply and you are triggered. So events trigger the feeling of self-doubt and imposter syndrome, right? Yeah. So when I'm feeling like that, I go to that archive of my best works and I'll be like, damn, guy, you good. Make we talk through. Kapati, roti, oda, jige. So I get that feeling and I'm pumped and I get back, you know, to the game. The third way to fix it is to look at, so there are sometimes you have worked with your colleagues, your, you know, maybe your boss or your mentor and or maybe your community. You submitted a design and people were like, look at you, fire emoji. So do screenshots of those moments and keep them somewhere also. You know, maybe have a conversation with yourself on Slack, you know, all those DM on Slack that is with yourself. Or you have with yourself on Twitter or on what's it called? WhatsApp. Send those screenshots to those places. So when you are feeling some type of way, go back there and read them. You know, so archive of your own best work, archive of praises from other people, from your mentors, from your community, people you respect, the good stuff that they have said about you, go back and read them. Another way to fix it is to just love yourself as a person and love yourself as a designer. Know that you are a work in progress. You are figuring it out because everything is figurative. So you are not at your best yet, but you are figuring it out. You are giving your best to you know, to fix this thing, you know. So because of that knowledge of, I'm figuring it out, you just give yourself enough grace to just, you know, go further in it. You are not where you want to be, but you are not where you used to be. You know, so that grace will just let you know that, okay, right now it's still my learning phase. It's still my growing phase. You know, I'm not there yet, but we are moving forward.
Okay. You mentioned something that I've never done before, which is take screenshots of, like, times where people hail you. I mean, I've gotten a fair bit of hailings here and there, but I never really got to take screenshots because you always need a reminder about probably how good you are or how good your work has been. Thank you, Alex. But I want to take you down memory lane a bit. Like, this is down 2 years, or let's say about 24 months. So the first time we met was at Damilola's house, Damilola's Mutual. That was at the end of 2022, I think. And your year in review was that you thank God for how the year had gone and how he brought you from a certain place, brought you to Lagos State. And then not long after, I think after or before, you retweeted
the year review was what?
Where you mentioned that, or you shared that God brought you from a certain place, Accra to be precise. Was it Ondo Accra? What brought from Accra to, and he has basically helped you to explore more. And not long after or before, you retweeted something that had to, that man was interviewing, I think on TVC, and shared a part of your journey. How he invited you from where you were to Lagos State to come and assist him with his social media management. I think you reached out to him. So I don't know if you can remember that story.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, what was the, I don't know if you don't mind sharing the whole idea from that part of transitioning from, I mean, coming down from like where you were to Lagos State and taking up such a role, basically.
I was still having, a conversation with a friend right before we got on this call. I think around 3 p.m. or so. And I was telling her that, I'm a Christian, and the Bible says everything works for the good of those who love God, right? And I know I love God. So because of the knowing that I love God, I know that good is my end. Whatsoever happens in between doesn't really matter, because there's good in the end. It's just like if you say 5 plus 1 minus 4 plus 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's minus in the middle.
Yes.
The answer to that question, will it be negative or positive?
It will still be positive because of the other.
You get to 5 plus 1, 6 minus 4, 2 plus another 2, which is false. So I know the end is good. The end is going to make sense. Whatsoever happened in the middle doesn't really count. Right? So I know that. And this is very important to how I think and how I approach the world. Where I'm going, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know the exact thing, but I know how the life look like. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying as much as possible to not sound, in quote, motivational or inspirational. I know what my life will look like in a few years. What will I be doing? I might not have an idea. Or based on what I'm doing now, I have an idea what I will be doing then. But the specifics, I don't know. But one thing I know is that I will be sorted. I will be good.
Yeah.
Jigger. Now, that's one aspect of a knowledge that I stumbled into by providence. God just helped me to learn this thing. It's not like I searched it out or it just dawned on me by meditation, like a personal revelation. No, I think it's God that just helped me. Now, that's one. Second part is, I was doing a lot of stuff, emotional intelligence. I wanted to train people and do stuff, but it wasn't happening. Or people were not rich enough, civil servant states. Not a lot of entrepreneurs can make that money and pay my amount. So I knew a lot of stuff, but I was broke. And then it dawned on me one day, this one is a personal revelation, right? It dawned on me that, guy, I'm too smart to be this broke. And that was it. I was just looking for opportunities to come to Lagos. And now, so there was even a break period from when I got to Lagos till I started working with my pastor. I worked somewhere else as brand strategy for like 9 months before I now contacted my pastor again. But the first time we spoke, I was in Accra. But next time we spoke, I was already in Lagos, and this is one of the things in social media that people don't get. What you hear or what you see, a lot more is happening behind the scene that you do not know about. So when I spoke to him, oh, sir, I've seen this, I can help with this. Me, I was just trying to give, I was trying to do, I was trying to help, I was trying to push and move, right? Because I know that you cannot become in isolation. You can't become by yourself. You become by association. You become by leverage.
Okay. Yes.
You get my point? So now I know him to an extent. He's an association for me. I become by knowing him. I become by leveraging what I got from him and so many other things that I cannot even say right now, you know, in the fact that I have been in his space for this number of years. My life has changed. So I know that there's a good in the end of it. So I did not mind just taking risk and putting myself in very risky situations and just move. When I came to Lagos to come and, you know, when I left out Akure, I didn't know anybody. You know, it was somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, spotting and do all of those stuff. But I know that despite those struggles, the hand is good.
Yes. So yeah. My reason for asking that question, my reason for asking that question was how, like, the experiences you had during that phase. I'm trying to extract the experiences and how they really helped your design journey, per se. I mean, you've mentioned the part of knowing somebody and being better and working in different places. Those experiences, how did they help your design journey at the end? How did they make your design journey better? Assuming that
first and foremost, one thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is you learn to implement feedback. That's one level. The second level is you learn to, I mean, it has helped me to implement or see the place of feedback. Then second level is it helped me to see the implementing feedback fast. Do you get? So you are not delaying, you are not dilly-dallying, you just do it. You see it, they say, oh, this is not working. Instead of waiting and doing all of that, you just get to it ASAP. And the second part is, so I was working as his PA, right, at that time, or EA, executive assistant. And one of the things that happened is, I will see something that I would like for us to do for him. Instead of going to him to say, oh, sir, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you, you know, clinical, all those kind of stuff. What I do instead is go and do that thing, prepare a slide, prepare something. So when I'm coming to him, I'm not coming with ideas. I'm coming with the first draft of that idea. So he's able to see it and then make a decision. That also helped me with design. It is better to, so if they say do this, if they give you a brief for a design, yeah? And truthfully, you do not fully understand that brief. Instead of coming back to say, I just say to come and get clarifications on this brief, I didn't quite understand it, no. Instead, I work on that brief to the level of my understanding and then come back to you to say, this part I got, which is what I've done. This part, Koyemi, I do not understand it. What do you think I should do? What do you think I trade? And then they're able to point you aright to say, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. As against them explaining that idea or that brief from the beginning. You know, they just see you as somebody who is a self-starter and then you can be relied upon to get stuff done when they need to be done.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about grooming, which is something you're working on for creative. Particularly by Mijoro, that's the name that rings in my head. What is it about and like, how can the persons that are probably interested get the money?
Okay, Grumly as a company is a company committed to helping creators leverage their social capital for financial, you know, profitability. So you see creators who have hundreds of thousands of followers, but all they depend on to make money is third party, you know, adverts and jingles and whatever for third party, you know, brands. But at Grumly, we are committed to helping them make money just because they have fans and followers and super fans that love them. You know, a Tao man should not wait for money point, or a Lai Wasabi should not wait for money point before he makes a killing. you know, God, we thank God for YouTube in their lives now. That is where they are making a lot of money from. You know, but imagine YouTube was not available. How would they have made money? They would now be at the mercy of brands, you know, which is very, very, which is not a good place to be, right? So Goomly is positioned as a company to create avenues for creators to make money from their social capital, you know, the following that they have amassed over the years. Come and make money from me. That's Goomly. Now, Buy Me Jollof is a company under Goomly that says creators can receive tips and donations and appreciations from their fans or super fans. So there's a separation between fans and super fans. If I'm the video's fan, I can also be Whiskey's fan. You know, but if I'm 30 BG, I can never be an outsider.
No possible.
Do you get what I mean? He's saying, no possible. So what do they call this one? Whiskey FC, I mean, that's what they are called. Or whatever they call themselves. So outsider people can never be 30 BG people. So those are super fans. You know, those people who argue for you, they feed their person for you, jigger. So those are the people that can give you stuff. So Buy Me Jollof is a place to engage your super fans, for creators now, not celebrities or influencers, for creators to engage their super fans and get reward. You know, for creators to get rewarded, and then for fans or super fans to engage, to reward the work that their creators are creating that gives them that level of entertainment that they enjoy. You get so, and then there are so many other things that is now inside of it. You know, creator, you can make personal requests to creators. You can create wish lists on Buy Me Jollof. You can. You know, Buy Me Jollof is the actual name, so you can make people buy you Jollof in form of money. What else can you do? We have shops, moments in line. You know, there are a lot of product features that we'll put in it, that is in the roadmap. But right now we are prioritizing wish list, send personalized message to your favorite creators and then support them. And you can be supported. If you have a Buy Me Jollof account, I can go on there and buy you Jollof. You get so it's pretty simple. And easy for everybody, you know, to just make money from their following, the people who love them. Right, that's the idea.
This is a sweet feature, especially for creators per se, because we live in a space whereby sometimes you want to help somebody or donating to a particular cause sometimes, and you don't want to.
That's also a very big part of it. Like NGOs and social enterprises can come on there. And receive donations for their courses, and they are not charged. Normally, we would charge a fee for people, but NGOs and social enterprises are not charged. You know, people like Tunde Omokoya of Chess in Slum, and these other places. All of those people can come on there and receive donations directly into their bank without getting charged.
Yeah, and another example could be Momizi. Had it been that just made more sense. But thank you. Thank you so much. The conversation went in different dynamics, but I know that about it. And the closing ritual, please don't ask something to say. When you want to ask the first next person, what would you like to ask the next guest?
What would that be? What is that thing about your work that you do not get enough credit for?
So what's up, people of the internet, boys and girls? One genuine problem I face as a regular podcast listener is finding another interesting podcast I can listen to. And you know that can be handful, and you know now to solve the stress around it. So that's why I bring to you What's Podcasting, people! Yeah, What's Podcasting. So it's just an overarching global newsletter that people in tech, geeks, babes, nerds, and maybe your mom would love, that kind of shit. So kindly check the link in the description and sign up to receive 3 new podcast recommendations every week that you will definitely not love. But you can never know unless you try it, yeah? That's why you're still single. Anyway, sorry, bye.
Bye, guys. Just remember, love you and all that you do, especially if you're Christian like me. Know that all things work together for your good, even the negatives in the middle. 5 + 1 - 4 + 2 - 2 is still a positive. You know, your life would end good. So don't overthink it. Don't awfulize. That's an assignment for you. Awfulize. AWFULIZING. Awfulizing is when you overthink what is going on in your life, when you think your life is the worst out of every other person. And it's a lie. You know, stuff is going good for you. At the very least, you are alive. So know that anything that you are going through now will most definitely end in good. You know, that's my, should I say, parting words or desire of my heart that you know for a certainty at this time. So thank you very much for listening. God bless you. Bye, guys.